नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। यस्मिन् असंख्यया विशेषा नम रूपाकृतो अविभि कल्पत्यं संख्या यया तत्वा दृशापनीयते तस्मै नमः संख्या निदासनाय चे इति यस्मिन् असंख्याये विशेषनाम रूपाकृतो कविभि कल्पत्ययम् संख्यायया तत्त्वादृशपनीयते तस्मै नमः संख्या निदासनाय चेति यस्मिन् असंख्येया विशेषनाम रूपाकृतो कविभि कल्पितयम् संख्यायाय तत्त्वादशापनीयते तस्मै नमः संख्या निदासनाय चेति यस्मिन् असंख्येया विशेषनाम रूपाकृतो कविभि कल्पितयम् संख्यायया तत्त्वादृशापनीयते तस्मै नमः संख्या निदासनाय चेति यस्मिन् असंख्येया विशेषनाम रूपाकृतो कविभि कल्पितयम् संख्यायया तत्त्वादृशापनीयते तस्मै नमः संख्या निदासनाय चेति यस्मिन् असंख्येया विशेषनाम रूपाकृतो कविभि कल्पितयम् संख्यायया तत्त्वादृशापनीयते तस्मै नमः संख्या निदासनाय चेति यस्मिन् असंख्येया विशेषनाम रूपाकृतो कविभि कल्पितयम् संख्याया तत्त्वादृशापनीयते तस्मै नमः संख्या निदायति यस्मिन् असंख्येया विशेषनाम रूपाकृतो Rupatito kavibi kalpeteyam Sankhyaya tattva drisha paniyate Tasmai nama sankhyalidarshanayate Yasmin, in you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ashankhyaya, innumerable, Vishesha, particular, Nama, names, Rupa, forms, Akrito, possessing bodily features, Kavibi, by great learned persons, Kalpita, imagined, Iyam, this, Shankar, number, Yaya, by whom, Tattva, of the truth, Drisha, by knowledge, Apaniyate, is extracted, Tajmai, unto him, Namaha, respectful obeisances. Shankhya Nidarshanaya. He who is a revealer of this numerical knowledge. Hey, unto you. Iti, thus. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, Lord Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada. O my Lord, your name, form, and bodily features are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly how many forms exist. Yet you yourself, in your incarnation, as the learned scholar, Kapila Deva, have analyzed the cosmic manifestation as containing 24 elements. Therefore, if one is interested in Shankhya philosophy, by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please repeat. O my Lord, your name, form, and bodily features are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly how many forms exist. Yet you yourself, in your incarnation as the learned scholar, Kapila Deva, have analyzed the cosmic manifestation as containing 24 elements. Therefore, if one is interested in Shankhya philosophy, by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Philosophers and scientists have been trying to study the entire cosmic manifestation situation and have been theorizing and calculating in different ways for millions and millions of years. However, the speculative research of so-called scientists or philosophers is always interrupted when he dies. And thus the laws of nature go on without regard for his work. For billions of years, changes take place in the material creation until at last the whole universe is dissolved and remains in an unmanifested state. Constant change and destruction, buddhva buddhva pralayate, is perpetually going on in nature. Yet the material scientists want to study the natural laws without knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the background of nature. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, Madhyakshina Prakriti Suyati Sacharacharam Hetunani Nakuntiya Jagat Vipa Vivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Now the material creation is manifest. Eventually it will be annihilated and remain for many millions of years in a dormant state. And finally, it will again be created. This is the law of nature. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalakaya Dakshura Miritandina Tasmaishu Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shiva Shri Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So I like this sentence. Prabhupada says, however, the speculative research work of so-called scientists and philosophers is always interrupted when he dies, and the laws of nature go on without regard for his work. So this is the nature of Krishna and Krishna's laws and his energy. They go on unceasingly, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. Everybody's researching and they think they can make some solution or find the ultimate cause of everything without Krishna. And they will go on doing that for more millions and millions of years until they're all annihilated, and again they'll come out and they may still do the same thing again. So their research work is interrupted, Prabhupada says, by death. They have to die. You don't have enough time to complete your research work. But still they are trying to do that. But they're trying to do it without understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's behind everything. So this is the difference. The scientists, they got so many books, so much knowledge is there, they've discovered. But most of it is all speculation. They haven't come to a proper conclusion. So they would always go on like this, discovering new things and come to a different conclusion. But here is another book, and here the devotees are offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're not even really interested in how the material world works and the 24 elements combine and interact. It's going on. If you want to know, the information is there, but the devotees are not really interested. But they're interested in offering prayers to that creator who is making everything move by his divine will. So they're both books, but these are authority books, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is offering prayers, authorized prayers to the Supreme Personality of God. So they have knowledge, whereas all the scientific books, they're simply speculative. They haven't come to a proper conclusion about the ultimate source. So here, the devotees, they know, they don't have to be told, they already know, and they're offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the difference. The devotees are praying to the Creator, and all the scientists are simply speculating about the creation. So this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, this chapter, is especially dealing with the offering of prayers by the different to the different deities on different varshas in this world. Different varshas, different deities, and they have different prayers to their different deities. But they're all glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So prayer is very, very important. Vandana is one of the 9 angas of bhakti. Prayers represented by Akrura. Akrura? Yes, I think Akrura was offering prayers to Krishna. So it's very important in spiritual life. Probably most of you here now, you made a prayer and a few days later you were in Krishna consciousness. Somehow or another you made a prayer to do something and all of a sudden you're in Krishna consciousness. So prayer is very powerful. So here they're offering, especially these, we were just reading some nice prayers of, they're offering to Lord Nrisingadev. And they're offering to Lord Nrisingadev, who is the source of all power. They make no mistake that Krishna, God, is the origin of everything. That's their conclusion, that the source of all the different energies, all the different potencies. They've accepted that. They don't have to research. That's the conclusion. So you are the source of everything. So they're asking, kindly vanquish our demoniac-like desires for fruitive activities in this world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance. So by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. So it's a very, very hard struggle in this material world. This struggle for existence is going on perpetually. It's not at all easy. You have everything is against you in this material world. Birth, old age, disease and death, these are the real problems of the world, which there's no solution to except Krishna consciousness. Solution is you don't take another material body, then you don't need more birth, you don't need more death, no old age. The old age, birth and disease and death means his body. But if we don't get another body, then there's no more birth, old age, disease and death. But the Krishna consciousness is a solution, whereas materialistic trying to solve these problems is not working. No more birth, but they're trying to stop birth. Birth control clinics all over the place, but babies are still being born by the thousands every day. They're trying to stop death, but people are dying every day. It's trying to stop old age, but it's right there behind everyone, creeping up. Birth, old age, disease, and disease, you must be diseased. You may cure one disease and then a new one comes along. So these are the laws of this material world. So we have to, we're going through this struggle for existence. What that struggle, trying to lord it over the resources of material nature, trying to be the enjoyer and controller of this material energy. So this is the disease of this material world. And then on top of that, you've got everything else against you. You've got the tamagun, rajagun, sattagun, constantly in fluxation. So you're never really fixed in one thing. You're always being moved to another, to another. Rajagun comes on what you can do. You have to be a bit active. Tamagun affects you. You have to sleep or something like that. Sattagun affects you. There is a little bit of enlightenment there. But you have to move by these modes of material nature. You're forced to move. They're acting all the time at every moment into these three and their combinations. So we're under these influence all the time. Then you've got adibhautik, adiatmik, adidoivik miseries. It's Kali Yuga also. Prabhupada said it. And if it wasn't so bad anyway, this material, on top of that, Kali Raj is there also. And he's simply stirring up everything and causing trouble. Prabhupada says, if it wasn't so bad anyway, still Kali Raj is there to give even more problems. So then you've got all these problems and psychological problems. What's it called? Denial, going through these stages of denial. You're becoming older, you can't enjoy anymore. No, I want to be the enjoyer. But see, the old age is taking all of your enjoyment away. Your senses are becoming weakened. So one thing on top of another, this material world. So the best thing here is not try to understand it. It's just to surrender to Krishna. Because we cannot get out of it by our own endeavor. We have to take shelter of Krishna because it's working under his direction. So Krishna consciousness is the solution. It's a positive alternative. But we have to work hard on Krishna consciousness. Dhammakrishna Raj asked Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, I thought you said this process of Krishna consciousness was simple. Prabhupada said, I said it was simple, but I didn't say it was easy. So it is simple. Here is Krishna, here is the Supreme Personality of God, here we are. Let's surrender to Krishna and serve Krishna. It's that simple. Let's try and have Krishna. But it's not easy to do that because of these different pushings and the interactions of the material world. Always distracting us from our real purpose in life is serving Krishna. So here we pray to Krishna, we have to pray to Krishna. So here they're praying, Bahi Nishinga Hirade Nishingo. We should, Prabhupada saying, we should pray this. Let Lord Shingadev sit in the core of our heart, killing all of my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean, so that I may peaceably worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. So here they are offering prayers to Lord Nrsimhadev to come and sit in our heart. But first is come and purify our heart. First the heart has to be purified, then Krishna can come and sit in the heart. So for both things we take shelter of Krishna. We turn to him to purify our heart when any impurity comes. We have to be very diligent. Any slight impurity we have to reject it continuously. And when the Lord sees that we are sincere in our endeavor, then actually he will come and sit in the heart. When you've made a nice sitting place for the Lord in your heart, it's nice and clean. Otherwise why Krishna will come if the heart is not clean? So first cleanse the heart. Cheto dharpana marjanam. Krishna consciousness begins at this point. First cleanse the heart. Then everything will follow. Everything will be revealed by the cleansing process. And then the Lord will sit in the heart. Or even it's not fully clean. What's that verse in Bhagavatam? Nasta prayatit avadeshtu nityam bhagavasa. Is that the verse? The heart is almost cleansed. But still the Lord will come in. It's difficult to be 100% pure in this world. As long as you've got a material body, you're not going to be pure. There's always going to be some contamination. Example is you burn some camphor and it burns and it's completely finished. There's nothing there, but you can smell it. So as long as you've got a material body, there'll be some remnants of attachment to the material. Well, Prabhupada said, if you're anxious for your next breath, it's sense gratification. Sense gratification or material attachment, something like that. And I'm pretty much anxious for my next breath. I think I'm dependent on it. But actually we should be dependent on Krishna. Not our next breath. So here we are, we're offering prayers to the Lord. And very nice prayers. Especially Lord Nrsimhadev, he can purify the heart. He's our Ishtadeva for purification. He removes the obstacles, that's his specific function. He's not our ultimate destination. Our ultimate destination is Radha and Krishna Gauranga. But he is there to assist in removing all the obstacles in the path of bhakti. Prabhupada says we worship Lord Nrisimhadev for three reasons, three purposes: to protect the devotees, protect the movement, and protect the guru. So we see Bhaktisiddhanta also worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev in Jogpit. In Nanda Baba also has worships Lord Nrisimhadev in Goloka. Why does he worship Nrisimhadev? To protect his son Krishna. So parampara, so the Lord is he's a protective deity. So we should take advantage of these deities and ask for different prayers. It's interesting, in this same purport, Prabhupada quotes Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur, says that whenever one offers prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction. Even pure devotees always pray for some benediction, as instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshakstikam. So here we're always hearing that we shouldn't ask the Lord really for anything. We shouldn't have any desires. We want to become pure devotees. They don't have any desires. But here the acharyas are saying that we should, when we approach the Lord, we should ask for something. But it seems against the principles of bhakti. He's quoting here from Shikshakstikam, Ayi Nanda Tuna Jikinkaram. Now he's praying, please pick me up. I'm falling in the ocean of material existence. Please pick me up and place me as an atom of dust at your lotus feet. Pick me up from the ocean, but that's mukti actually. He wants liberation from the cycle of birth and death. But why does he want that mukti? To be so he can be situated at the lotus feet of Krishna, as a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Krishna. So it's not mukti for mukti's sake, for getting rid of problems, so he can get mukti and enjoy some kind of liberation, either Sayuja Mukti or in Vaikuntha. So the idea is removing these obstacles so we can serve Krishna better, so that they don't interfere with our service to Krishna. So and Prabhupada also said, he said we shouldn't have any desires for the Lord. He said we can ask the Lord for two things. One time he said, I just want to love you, Krishna. And another time he said, I just want to serve you, Krishna. But both of these are prayers for devotional service, to render pure devotional service to Krishna. So we can take advantage of these prayers. And pray always to be engaged in devotional service. And we're going through some problems, that we take advantage of the deities, of whoever is our shelter, our guru, the holy name. Somehow or another we have to really take shelter. More or less we're doing that all the time, because every moment we need shelter in this material world. We're always being bombarded. So we need some shelter. So every time we're bombarded, we immediately turn to that shelter, take shelter and pray for protection. When the Lord sees we're sincerely doing that, we're keeping our heart very clean. Then he will want to come and sit in the heart. So, although we're praying to Lord Nrisimhadev, other people praying to other deities, but we often hear also we should, if you have many desires, if you have no desires, if you want liberation, if you're full of material, whatever, anyway, you approach Krishna for that famous verse in the Bhagavatam, Akama, verse in Bhagavatam. Whether you're full of desires or you have no desires, still approach Krishna, because he's but how we can approach Krishna, but we want something removed from the heart, we approach Krishna because he's my worshipful Lord, but he'll do it anyway through Lord Nrisimhadev. He'll assume the form of Lord Nrisimhadev to do it anyway, because that's his function as Lord Nrisimhadev. Now here we're understanding Lord Nrisimhadev and Krishna are non-different, they're the same person. So we pray to the Lord directly to remove. He will remove through Lord Nrsingadev. Or we pray to Lord Nrsingadev because we don't want to disturb Radha Madhava's pastimes or Gauranga's pastimes. So we pray to Lord Nrsingadev to do the dirty work. Let them remove all the obstacles. But they'll do it anyway, even if we pray directly to them. Yeah. In the form of Lord Nrsingadev. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. How can Krishna be the seed-giving father? He doesn't touch the material world. So Prabhupada said, now this statement, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities, is made by Krishna. But how does he execute that? How does he, the seed-giving father, in the form of Lord Shiva? The Lord Shiva is the father of this cosmic manifestation, and Durga is his mother. His wife. She's our mother. So to touch the material energy, Krishna Vishnu, he doesn't do that. So when it's necessary to touch, then he expands in the form of Lord Shiva or Brahma. But what Krishna says, no, it is me, I am doing it. It's a fact. But he does it in his form. It is himself, he's doing it, but in the form of Lord Nrsingadev. So when he's saying, I am this, I am that, it's all, he is doing it, but in different features and different forms. And the the example is Krishna himself here. Now when Krishna has to kill a demon comes, this Krishna doesn't actually kill the demon. It's the Vishnu within Krishna. He comes and he kills the demons. But it looks like Krishna's killing them. He's whirling Danakasura, killing Bakar and all those. But it's the Vishnu aspect of Krishna comes and does this. So Krishna is very tender. He can't fight with these horrible demons. He's very delicate. So this form of Vishnu manifestation, that kills all the demons, does all the dirty work. So even Krishna, he takes help from another deity, namely Vishnu, who is himself anyway. But he's showing us he takes help from Vishnu when necessary, because he's the personality who does it. So take shelter of him when the demon comes, or when Krishna has to leave Vrindavan. But does Krishna leave Vrindavan? But he has to leave Vrindavan. He has to give some pleasure to his mother and father, the Jadu dynasty. He has to do his work of annihilating all the miscreants and killing all the kings. And this is part of Krishna's pastime. It has to be done. So Krishna has to leave Vrindavan. So he leaves Vrindavan. But simultaneously he stays in Vrindavan. But he never leaves Vrindavan. But because he has to do this work, then he leaves. As Vasudev, Krishna. So again, Krishna takes shelter. He uses Vasudev to do the business of leaving Vrindavan, going to Mathura, Dwapara, and performing all these pastimes, annihilating all the kings, etc. While Krishna himself still remains in Vrindavan, his pastimes are unaffected. So then we see even Krishna himself, he takes shelter of different deities who are all himself anyway. But that's the purpose of these forms. They have a specific function. So Krishna himself takes advantage. But when there is pure, unalloyed, loving devotion, yes, Krishna is right there. Okay, no need any help here. This is what I want. I want this loving exchange with my devotee. This is what I want. No need for any other help or incarnation here. So Krishna himself, he plays the role of being a mother, a father, a lover, a friend. He will personally play that and enjoy that loving exchange. And these other forms will take care of everything else. Krishna has, he has one potency. It's called Akashani Shakti. Now, when Krishna is performing his pastimes, or when the original personality of Godhead comes here, it's understood all the other avatars and everyone come with him. So the Vishnu is there, as we've been hearing, how Vishnu expands, kills all the demons. The other aspect of Vishnu is in him. All the aspects of it, the deities, they all the different avatars, they come to assist Krishna. So especially Vishnu and Kiradakshaya Vishnu. They are doing all the killing business, the Vasudeva Krishna. But when it comes to the sweetness, the Madhurya, then Krishna, he takes over. Now how could he perform this intimate conjugal pastimes if Kiradakshaya Vishnu is there and Vishnu are there? They're also witnessing. So he has this other Shakti called Akashani Shakti. And that goes up in the sky and that attracts Vishnu and Kiradakshaya Vishnu from the body of Krishna. They become attracted to that potency. And then they leave the body of Krishna. And then Krishna, it's just Krishna enjoying with his devotees. There's no one else. Krishna's not there anymore. There's no rasa, vasa or anything. It's only Krishna and his loving devotees enjoying that sweet devotee. But when the pastime is finished, then there's another Shakti, which is called Stapani Shakti. Again, it attracts them back into Krishna's body, and then they resume their service whenever needed. They are there to serve Krishna when they are called upon by Krishna. So even Krishna, he takes shelter of different potencies to perform different functions. So the idea is that we should take shelter, we have to do it, put it into practice, and then we'll see the result. If we don't practice it, we won't see the result. But we have to be very sincerely put this into practice, really take shelter at every moment, whenever needed, at every moment, and show we're sincerely seeking shelter. And then there'll be a reaction. Krishna will understand your sincerity. If we don't do it, or sometimes we do and sometimes we don't, Krishna will be casual also. But if you're very sincere, and Krishna said, then he will purify that last remnant, and then he will come and sit in the heart. He'll become purified. when we're taking shelter of Lord Nrisingadev, what are we actually taking shelter of? It's his holy name. We're addressing him by his holy name. And that is the savior for the age of Kali anyway. Kali Yuga, the holy name. So we're using Krishna's name, we're worshipping Lord Nrisingadev, but we're saying Krishna's name. Nrisingadev is the name of Krishna. So the name is very powerful. That's the saving grace, the ultimate saving grace. It's our ultimate savior in the Kali Yuga. So by offering prayers, this is why we're using the holy name. And then we're getting the proper effect, because this is the process in Kali Yuga. This is why in deity worship there's so many names, the Namaha, so many prayers. Like here they're offering Namaha, Namaha, offering obeisances to all these different forms of the Lord, because they're all Krishna. And by saying all these Namaha, the Krishna Namaha, Nishunya Namaha, Gauranga Namaha, whatever, by saying all these names, then we're performing the Yuga Dharma. And because the holy names are chanted in deity worship, then you may get perfection in deity worship, Archana Siddhi. Well, there are nine angas of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vandanam, this is offering prayers. And Archanam is one. So you can get perfection, these Siddhi, you get Siddhi by practicing one of these principles very nicely and sincerely. You can get Siddhi, you get perfection of Krishna consciousness by this anger of bhakti, practicing this anger of bhakti. Because of And why you get that siddhi, why you get that perfection of that different anga of bhakti is because the holy name was there. That makes it perfect. Because you chanted the holy name of Krishna, then you get your siddhi for archana. Because the holy name is the principal means in Kali Yuga. So that's why the holy name has to be there with everything, otherwise it's not successful. So every time a program, we have the holy name, we chant the holy name, we distribute Mahaprasad, and it's always successful because the name of Krishna is there. So we can pray to remove all the obstacles on the path of pure devotion. And Krishna wants to see our sincerity in doing that. Then he will reciprocate. So we should ask the deity for something or not. The question is remains a little bit unanswered. Should we not ask Krishna for anything, have no desire to ask him for anything, or should we ask him for some benediction? Should we ask to remove obstacles? Should we bother Krishna with that? The answer is that, one answer is at least, that no, we approach Krishna, please remove the obstacles in the path of bhakti, whatever they may be. This is actually essential part of Pancharachiki Vidhi, is offering prayers. Now if we go to pure unalloyed devotion, then we may not need to ask any benediction, like Kola Vecha Sridhar, he was just absorbed in his service to Krishna. And Krishna, what do you want, Kola Vecha? What do you want? He said, I don't want anything. He had no desire for anything. And when finally the Lord ordered him, you have to ask me for something. Okay, if I have to have something, then if it pleases you, because you come to my market, the marketplace every day, you know, you steal my bananas, you upset me, you make me angry, you make me cry. Somehow or another it's giving you pleasure, but if it gives you pleasure, this is my prayer. I'm asking you for this. You please come every day and upset me and tease me and make me cry, because somehow or another it gives you pleasure. So like that. But for myself or for the devotee itself, he doesn't want anything. These prayers here of Prahlad, he's praying for the benefit of others. He prayed for the benefit of his father. He wasn't asking anything for himself, except to be his service to Lord Nrisingadev. But he did ask for benefit for others. He prayed for the benefit of the whole universe. And even his own father. Please forgive my father. He was trying to kill him so many times. So Vaishnavas, they pray for us. The idea is that prayer should be beneficial. Should be beneficial for others and beneficial for devotional service. So then they become a big part of Pancharachiki worship, which we're following. Vedi Sadhana Bhakti means Pancharachiki Vidhi. So then we have these different deities to take shelter of. then we can have all our obstacles removed, just like that Jagannath Ashtakam. He's praying, kindly remove my material existence. It's actually mukti, isn't it? I want liberation from material existence. But that's one of the prayers there, kindly remove this material existence. But he's said in the mood of devotion. He doesn't want mukti, but he wants to be with his Lord. He's tired of being under the influence of the material. So kindly remove this material existence, which is kind of distracting us from Krishna at every moment. So kindly remove this material existence. Or Jagannatha Swami Nayanapatagami is asking, Krishna, you show yourself to me? It seems against principles of devotion. I'm ordering Krishna. This is against the devotional principles. But the prayer is there, Jagannatha Swami Nayanapatagami, please be visited to me. I'm the order. I'm ordering Krishna. But because it's done in devotion. It's done out of love to see Krishna. Then it's considered a prayer of bhakti. It's not really asking for order in the Lord. They want to see, naturally the devotees want to see the Lord, so out of love they are calling the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked, Advaitacharya came to see him at Haridas Thakur Sripad, as he did every day. Mahaprabhu would go there. Haridas Advaitacharya arrived there, and Mahaprabhu said, Advaita Prabhu, what did you do this morning? Tell me what you did. Well, I did the usual thing. I wake up, I did my ablutions and whatever I had to do. I came to the temple to see Lord Jagannath, Sukambalamate Deity. Then I came to see you. I do this every day. Mahaprabhu said, yes, you are defeated, Advaita. I may be defeated, but please tell me why or how I'm defeated. Now you explain again, tell me what you did, more detail. No, I got up as every morning and I did all my duties, and then I come to see Jagannath, and then I succumb to the Jagannath 5 or 7 times. Yes. He said, you succumbed Jagannath 5 or 7 times. That means you was walking around. He said, but I didn't see left, I didn't see right, I didn't see backside, I didn't see anything. I only saw those big beautiful eyes of Lord Jagannath. I didn't, because when you succumbed Jagannath, you won't see his beautiful eyes. So Mahaprabhu said, I didn't succumbed, I was just absorbed in Jagannath's beautiful eyes. So therefore Advaita said, yes, I am defeated. You have defeated me, my Lord, because I succumbed to it. So it was out of love. He wanted to see Jagannath, so out of intense love. They're longing to see. So if it's done in the prayer, it's done in devotion. Not that, you know, I'm trying to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth. I want to study this Shankya philosophy. Okay, God, show me your form. I've analyzed it. It's not really bhakti. But if it's done in love and devotion in Krishna, he gladly reveals him. So I read a little bit from Ratiyatra because it's expressing so many nice sentiments here. And we learn a lot from this Lord Chaitanya's interaction with Jagannath on the Ratiyatra. Because he is in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and Jagannath is Krishna. So it's Radharani speaking to Krishna. So by this pastime, Mahaprabhu is revealing what would have been unknown practically. So he's giving a taste of the sweetness of the Braja Bhakti in his conversations that luckily were recorded by his devotees, and we have in the Chaitanya Charitamrita here. If you like, you can leave. It's already 5 to 9. Take your breakfast. Anyway, Lord Jagannath here is at the festival of Rat. Then the car came to complete standstill and remained immobile, while Lord Jagannath, with unblinking eyes, watched the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The goddess of fortune Subhadra and Lord Balaram both felt great happiness and ecstasy in their hearts. Indeed, they were smiling, seemed to be smiling at the dancing. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high, 8 wonderful transformations indicative of divine ecstasy were seen in his body. All these symptoms were visible simultaneously. His skin erupted with goose pimples. The hairs on his body stood on end, and his body resembled the simuli, the cotton tree, all covered with thorns. Indeed, people became afraid just to see his teeth chatter, and they even thought his teeth may fall out. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole body flowed with perspiration and at the same time oozed blood. He made sounds, jaja, gaga, jaja, gaga, in a voice choked with ecstasy. Tears came forcibly from his eyes of the Lord, as if from a syringe, and all the people surrounding him became wet. Everyone saw the complexion of his body change from white to pink, so that his luster resembled that of a mallika flower. Sometimes he appeared stunned, and sometimes he rolled on the ground. Indeed, sometimes his legs and hands became as hard as dry wood, and he did not move. When the Lord fell to the ground, sometimes his breathing almost stopped. When the devotees saw this, their lives also became very feeble. Water flowed from his eyes and sometimes through his nostrils, and foam fell from his mouth. These flowings appeared to be torrents of nectar descending from the moon. The foam fell from the mouth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taken and drunk by Shubhananda because he was very fortunate and expert in relishing the mellows of transcendental love of Krishna. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his devastating dance for some time, his mind entered into a mood of ecstatic love. I'm just remembering something else here, just of what we've been saying, how Krishna adopts different forms, even himself. When Advaita Acharya, he was at the Rath Yatra with his party, he had the one son named Gopal. And Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy, he became tired, and then he said, "Gopal, you dance now." So Advaita's son, he began to dance ecstatically, then he fainted. And the devotees became worried and he actually stopped breathing. The Advaita Acharya came running up and put his son on his lap, and he was so much anxiety, the son actually died. And Advaita Acharya, he was praying, "Lord Nrisingadev, Lord Nrisingadev, please save my Gopal, please save my son, please save my son." So here Advaita is an example. Advaita is Krishna Tattva himself, but he, and Lord Chaitanya is also there, his worshipful Lord, but he's praying to Lord Nrisingadev. I just remembered that past time. "Please save." And then Lord Chaitanya comes and put his hand on the heart of Gopal. "Gopal, stand up and dance." Then he stood up and started dancing in ecstasy again. So after abandoning the dancing, the Lord ordered Srup Damodar to sing. Understanding his mind, Srup Damodar began to sing as follows. "Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid, and I was withering away." Purport. This song refers to Srimati Radharani's meeting with Krishna at the holy place of Kuruketra, where Lord Sri Krishna and his brother and sister came to visit, and where there was a solar eclipse. It is a song of separation from Krishna. When Radharani and Krishna met at Kuruketra, she remembered his intimate association in Vrindavan, and she thought, "Now I have gained the Lord of my life. In his absence, I was being burned by the arrow of Cupid, and I was withering away. Now I have my life again." When this refrain was loudly sung by Srup Damodar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again began rhythmically dancing in transcendental bliss. The car of Lord Jagannath began to move slowly while the son of Mother Sachi went ahead and danced in front. While the dancing and singing, all of the devotees in front of Lord Jagannath kept their eyes on him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the end of the procession of the Sankirtan performers. His eyes and mind fully absorbed in Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to play a drama of the song with his two arms. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dramatically enacting the song, he would sometimes fall behind the procession. At such times, Lord Jagannath would come to a standstill. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again went forward, Lord Jagannath's car would slowly start again. Thus, there was a sort of competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who would lead, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong that he made Lord Jagannath wait in his car. While Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his ecstasy changed. Raising his two arms, he began to recite the following verse in a loud voice. "That very same personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlight nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of the malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. Yet my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the river under the Vaitashi tree. That is my desire." This verse was recited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again, but for Srup Damodar, no one could understand its meaning. Formerly, All the gopis in Vrindavan were pleased when they met Krishna in the holy place of Kurukshetra. Similarly, after seeing Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu woke in the ecstasy of the gopis. Being absorbed in his ecstasy, he asked Swarup Damodar to sing the refrain. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke thus to Lord Jagannath, "You are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Dham. I wish that you please again appear there with your lotus feet in Vrindavan." In Kurukshetra, there are crowds of people, elephants, horses, and also the rattling of chariots. But in Vrindavan, there are flower gardens, and the humming of bees and chirping of birds can be heard. Here at Kurukshetra, you are dressed like a royal prince, accompanied as a great warrior. But in Vrindavan, you have appeared just as an ordinary cowherd boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flute. This pastime is also enacted here, similar by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Nabadi Bhava Taranga. He goes to Veda Vyaspachi's house in what is that, Dvipa? Anyway, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, then he came back and he visited Mayapur, but he stayed at Vyaspati's house. And then he went on the roof and gave his darshan to everyone. And when the inhabitants of Navadvipa understood Mahaprabhu came back, they all come rushing, millions and millions of, well, everyone, they just rushed to Vyaspati's house to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing in the Navadvipa Bhavacharanga this instance, is that when will I see that king of the sannyasis at Vyaschaspati's house? And he's saying that here now he is a sannyasi. He is my same Lord Gauranga, but here he is dressed as a sannyasi. He is my same Lord, I know that, but my heart longs to see him in his former youth when he had his beautiful long black curling hair and his dhoti folded three times and he's dancing with all the devotees at Sri Vaishangam. This is my desire. I desire to bring Mahaprabhu back to Sri Vaishangam with all the devotees where he was dancing and performing his sankirtan. You are my same Lord, but dressed as like a sannyasi. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, just as the gopis had this mood, so he is feeling this mood of how Mahaprabhu here, dressed as a sannyasi, but he is just the same Lord. So he's relating it. This is the gopi saw Krishna dressed as a king in Kurukshetra. He's relating to that that incident. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur one time said that I'm longing to do my bhajan at Kurukshetra. So it was recorded, and some disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what is the meaning of this? Everybody wants to do their bhajan in Vrindavan, Mayapur, or Jagannath Puri. Why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is expressing he wants to do his bhajan at Kurukshetra? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that in this position, now they're at Kurukshetra, they want to take Krishna. He's their Krishna, but he's dressed as a prince, but the king, but they want to take him back to Vrindavan. This is the Radhakatra move. And so they're praying to Krishna, you please come back again and play. It's hope against hope, actually. Because Krishna's a king, he's got 16,000 wives. He can't go to Vrindavan with all his wives. And so it's a hope against hope. But they're praying anyway. They know it's more or less impossible, but they're, Krishna, you please come back. We want to see you in your form as a cowboy on the banks of the Jamuna with your peacock feather and flute. This is how we want to see you. So in this situation, it's a very delicate situation for Radharani. It's her lover is there, but she knows it's practically impossible, but still she's somehow or another longing that he will come back with them. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, in that state, her emotional state is so delicate that if I can actually serve Radharani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying in his srupa, but if I can, this is his bhajan, if I can serve Srimati Radhe while she's in that mood, in that very sensitive, delicate mood, then she'll be very pleased with me if I can somehow or another serve her and please her. Because of her emotional state of consciousness at that time. If I can somehow assist her, she'll be very pleased and with me. So therefore, I'm desiring to do bhajan at Kurukshetra, which is the place of sacrifice. Anyway. While dancing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the following verse, which he tasted in association with Sri Damodara Goswami. The gopis thus spoke, "Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter of those who are falling into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated on by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that those lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs." Speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "For most people, the mind and heart are one, but because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. My mind is already Vrindavan, and since you like Vrindavan, please place your lotus feet there. I would deem that your full mercy. My dear Lord, kindly hear my true submission. My home is Vrindavan, and I wish your association there. But if I do not get it, it would be very difficult for me to keep my life. My dear Krishna, formerly when you were staying in Mathura, you sent Uddhava to teach us speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. And now you yourself are teaching the same thing. But my mind does not accept it. There is no place in my mind for Jnana Yoga or Dhyana Yoga. Although you know me very well, you are still instructing me in Jnana Yoga and Dhyana Yoga. This is not right for you to do so." So this was when Krishna sent message with Uddhava to telling them that you should understand that separation between ourselves is impossible at any time, under any circumstance, in any situation, because I am all pervading. So this way you can understand me. So here they're criticizing Krishna. Why are you treating us like jnanis? This is jnana you're teaching, understanding the all-pervading Lord. Sit down and meditate in your heart, picture me in it. This is for the yogis. Why are you treating us like common yogis and jnanis? We loved you from the very beginning of our lives, and you're treating us like ordinary jnanis. This is not proper for you, Krishna. So she's showing her anger, chastising a little bit. Krishna told them, "It's the Supreme Lord who brings everyone together and then scatters them again. It's by his desire only." The Radharani says, "You're a very clever speaker, because you are that Supreme Lord who scatters everyone and brings them together." And you're the one who also taught us Dharma when Krishna called them all for the Rasalila, played his flute, they all come running to see Krishna. And when they got there, Krishna started to instruct them in Dharma. it's not proper for you to be out at night time. You're young girls, you're alone. It's midnight, we're in the forest, and I'm a young man. It's not dharmic. So you teach us dharma, you teach us jnana, you teach us jnana. This is not proper for you, Krishna. We're your devotees. We've loved you since time from our birth. It's not proper you to treat us like this. But they say it's your nature, Krishna. It's difficult for you to give up your nature. Krishna is supremely independent. Supremely independent. This is one of the qualities that no other avatar has ever exhibit. Complete independence. They all abide by some rules or another, but Krishna, he sometimes completely violates rules, and he doesn't care. He should have stayed, he shouldn't have gone to Mathura. He should have stayed, and the love that the gopis expressed when a Kuru was going to take Krishna, he should have stayed there. He shouldn't have gone. But he's to show his independence. So he did it anyway. He left them. This is Krishna's complete independence. Nobody can control, and he exhibits this only in Krishna, the form of Krishna. Otherwise, often he follows rules and regulations, but when we come to this independent sarat, this is Krishna's supreme independence, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. That is the supremacy of Krishna. Mahaprabhu continued, I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you and engage it in material activities, but even though I try, I cannot do so. I'm naturally inclined to you only. Your instructions for me to meditate on you are therefore simply ludicrous. In this way you are killing me. It is not very good for you to think of me as a candidate for your instructions. The gopis are not like the mystic yogis. They will never be satisfied simply by meditating on your lotus feet and imitating so-called yogis. Teaching the gopis about meditation is another kind of duplicity. When they are instructed to undergo mystic yogic practice, they are not at all satisfied. On the contrary, they became more and more angry with you. The gopis are falling into a great ocean of separation and are being devoured by the timingila fish of their ambition to serve you. The gopis are to be delivered from the mouths of these timingila fish, for they are pure devotees. Since they have no material conception of life, why should they aspire for liberation? The gopis do not want that liberation desired by the yogis and jnanis, for they're already liberated from the ocean of material existence. It is amazing you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan. And how is it you have forgotten your father and mother and friends? How have you forgotten Govardhan Hill on the bank of the Jamuna and the forests where you enjoy the Ras Leela dance? Krishna, you are certainly a refined gentleman with all good qualities. You are well-behaved, soft-hearted and merciful. I know that there is not even a tinge of fault to be found in you. Yet your mind does not even remember the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is only my misfortune and nothing else. I do not care for my personal unhappiness, but when I see the morose face of Mother Jasoda and the hearts of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan breaking because of you, I wonder whether you want to kill them all, or do you want to enliven them by coming there? Why are you simply keeping them alive in a state of suffering? The inhabitants of Vrindavan do not want you dressed as a prince, nor do they want to associate with great warriors in a different country. They cannot leave the land of Vrindavan, and without your presence, they're all dying. What is their condition to be? My dear Krishna, you are the life and soul of Vrindavan Dham. You are especially the life of Nanda Maharaj. You are the only opulence in the land of Vrindavan. You are very merciful. Please come and let all the residents of Vrindavan live. Kindly keep your lotus feet again in Vrindavan. After hearing Srimati Radharani's statements, Lord Krishna's love for the inhabitants of Vrindavan was evoked, and his body and mind became very much perturbed. After hearing of their love for him, he immediately thought himself to be always indebted to the residents of Vrindavan. Then Krishna began to pacify Srimati Radharani as follows. My dearest Srimati Radharani, please hear me. I am speaking the truth. I cry day and night simply upon remembering all you inhabitants of Vrindavan. No one knows how unhappy this makes me. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham, my mother, my father, cowherd boyfriends, and everyone else and everything are my life and soul. Among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my very life and soul. And among the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. And therefore you are the very life of my life. My dear Srimati Radharani, I am always subordinate to the loving affairs of all of you. I am under your control only. My separation from you and residence in a distant place have occurred due to my strong misfortune. When a woman is separated from the man she loves, or a man is separated from his beloved woman, neither of them can live. It is a fact that they live only for each other. For if one dies, the other hears of it, he or she will also die. Such a loving chaste wife and loving husband desire all welfare for each other in separation. They do not care for personal happiness. Desiring only each other's well-being, such a pair certainly meet again without delay. You are my most dear, and I know that in my absence, you cannot live for a moment. Just to keep you living, I worship Lord Narayana. By his merciful potency, I come to Vrindavan every day and enjoy pastimes with you. And I then return to Dwarka Dham. Thus, you can always feel my presence there in Vrindavan. Our loving affair is more powerful because of my good fortune in receiving Narayana's grace. This allows me to come there unseen by others. I hope that very soon I will be visible to everyone. I have already killed the mischievous demons who are enemies of the Jadu dynasty. And I have also killed King Kamsa and his allies. But there are two or four more demons still living. I want to kill them. And after that, I shall very soon return to Vrindavan. Know this for certain. I wish to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the attacks of my enemies, and that is why I remain in my kingdom. Otherwise, I am indifferent to my royal position. Whatever wives, sons, and wealth I maintain in the kingdom are only for the satisfaction of the Jadus. Your loving qualities always attract me to Vrindavan. Indeed, they will bring me back within 10 or 20 days. And when I return, I should enjoy both day and night with you and all the damsels of Rajabhumi. While speaking to Srimati Radharani, Krishna became very anxious to return to Vrindavan. He made her listen to a verse which banished all her difficulties and which assured her she would attain Krishna. Lord Sri Krishna said, "Devotional service to me is the only way to attain me. My dear gopis, whatever love and affection you have attained for me by good fortune is the only reason for my returning to you." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced completely absorbed in ecstatic emotion. While looking at the face of Lord Jagannath, he danced and recited these verses. Jagannath Swami ki, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Rath Yatra Mahotsava ki. So very important, all this expression of the depth of their love for Krishna and Krishna's love for them. It's all being revealed here. Otherwise we wouldn't know. The Mahaprabhu was revealed. Many things here. It's here, Lord Krishna says, "I wish to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the attacks of my enemies. That is why I remain in my kingdom. Otherwise, I am indifferent to my royal position. Whatever wives, sons, and wealth I maintain in the kingdom are only for the satisfaction of the jadus. So Krishna is expressing here that the only reason that he's living in Dwarka is that because the jadu, members of the jadu dynasty, they want him there. He's their relative. He's the greatest. He's the hero of the jadu dynasty. So naturally, you're from our dynasty. So you should stay here with us. So they want him to stay with them as one of their family members. So Krishna is saying, this is the only reason I'm staying there. It's not for his own happiness, it's for the happiness of others, of his so-called family members, the jadu dynasty. Krishna expresses the same thing in Vrindavan when he went to kill Kamsa and establish Yudhisthira there on the throne, or Ugrasena, sorry. When Krishna and Balarama are talking with Nanda Baba in Mathura, just before they're leaving, going back. And Nanda's saying, how can I leave without you, Krishna? I promise everyone I'll bring you back. He said, no, I just stay here and I want to be with my real mother and father for some time, Vasudeva and Devaki, and the other members here in Mathura, the different clans. I have to stay here for some time to give them pleasure. But my heart is always there in Vrindavan. I'll come back in a day or two. Very soon I will come back. But the reason I'm here is for the pleasure of my relatives. So here Krishna, his happiness is in Vrindavan. That is why he said he never takes one step outside of Vrindavan. So when he goes to Mathura, he reveals that the only reason I'm here is for the pleasure of my relatives. When he's in Dwarka, the only reason I'm living here is to give some pleasure to my relatives. But my actual happiness is in Vrindavan. So this is Krishna, who never leaves Vrindavan. He is that original personality of Godhead. The different features of Krishna, Vasudeva, and Dwarkadish, they will take the leave. But Krishna himself, he never leaves Vrindavan. And so this is called pure unalloyed devotion. You get pure devotion, pure devotees, and pure unalloyed devotees. Prabhupada makes a distinction. The pure unalloyed devotees are the devotees of Krishna in Vrindavan. And the very last thing they would want was to take Krishna out of Vrindavan. Mother Yasoda cursed Akura for taking Krishna. The very last thing they would want. So this is an unalloyed devotee who worships Krishna in Vrindavan. And that Krishna, he never leaves Vrindavan. So this is that original personality of God, at whom is our Ishta Deva. This is that Krishna whose only pleasure is in Vrindavan. And the pure devotees, or unalloyed devotees, their only business is bringing Krishna pleasure in Vrindavan, definitely not outside. So although Krishna expands as Lord Ramchandra or Lord Narayana, and he has millions and millions of devotees, they're all pure devotees, but there is a distinction. Generally, therefore, because they want to live on the same planet as the Lord, to have the same features of the Lord, to enjoy the opposite. So this is why Krishna expands. Otherwise, it's not necessary for Krishna to expand. Bahusham, he's one, he becomes many. But why, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, what is the purpose? It's for the pleasure of his devotees. It's not for his pleasure. His pleasure is there in Vrindavan. So this is who Radharani Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the Krishna they have besieged. He'll come back and he wants to be with them alone. So anyway, factually, Krishna went back. It's mentioned in Sanatana Goswami, mentions from some place that after killing Dantavakra and his brother of Dantavakra was Vidurat, Vidurat. These were the last two demons that Krishna killed. And he happened to kill them in Mathura. So he's very close to Vrindavan. So it's a good excuse. He didn't have to go back to Dwarka. He was so he was in Vrindavan. So he killed those two demons, and then immediately he went running, running to Vrindavan. And they met all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, were all there, and everything came to life again. Now Krishna was there again, and everything all resumed as it was before. And the gopis and everyone was going out and milking the cows and otherwise. When Uddhava went there, he saw nothing was happening. No one was milking the cows. The cows didn't want to give milk. Nobody wanted to do anything. Nobody. They hardly existing. The trees didn't want to give flowers or fruits. Everything was in a state of complete, you know, separation. That was there. But when Krishna went back, and everything came to life again, and it resumed exactly as it was before. And Krishna would go out with the cowboys, he would meet the gopis at night time for 2 months. And then after that, different portions would enter into Krishna's body to perform these pastimes. In the son of, like the avatars enter into Krishna's body. So different personalities also enter into the like Drona and Jara, they were the demigods. They entered into the body of Jasoda and Nandana to experience these Vatsalaras. So they went back to their demigod position, Drona and Jara. So all these different devatas who appeared to assist Krishna, they went back to their different abodes. And the original inhabitants of Vrindavan, they all went back to Vrindavan, the whole thing. And everybody was astonished. Where happened? Where did everything go? The people who were left around. So the whole abode went back to... So Krishna did go back eventually and resumed. Then everyone went back to God. Then after that he left alone. He went back to Dwarka and then he finished the pastime there. So Krishna didn't break his promise. He went back with all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Ram, Hari Ram. Thank you. Ratyatra Mahotsav ki.